This is one of those stories that have been in the back of my mind for a while. And so today it's going to come out. Here's the thought, here's the question, here's what's been on my mind, and I've read the verse, and I'm going to read it a couple more times. Then David answered Araunah, "No, I insist on buying it from you for a price, for I will not offer to the Lord my burnt offerings." That cost me nothing. How important is worship to you? How important is it to acknowledge who God is in your life? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. These words are from King David, late in his life. Really comes from the last chapter in the book of 2 Samuel, and then the next book begins to chronicle him in his old age and what happened to him at the very end of his life. But it would seem that this story came pretty late in his life. A story that shows David's brokenness, a story that shows David's failure. I didn't choose this story because it glorifies David, because it really doesn't. It's a story that shows David's brokenness. It shows his failure. It shows his humanness. It shows sin in his life. But it also shows a man who turns to God and finds his forgiveness and restoration. It's a beautiful story. David lived a broken road life. He had many broken road experiences in his life. And yet God used him and used his life and worked in amazing, incredible ways. You've heard of David. Probably no matter how much you've been to church or not been to church, you know about David, the shepherd boy. He becomes the king of Israel. Before that, he plays his harp for an unstable, moody king. Then he goes out against Goliath and slays the giant, and the people acclaim him, and his life and his story is absolutely incredible. There are so many stories about David in the Bible. In fact, there are more stories about David than anybody else in the Bible except Jesus. There's more written about David than anybody else except Jesus. There's a lot that we can learn from his life, from his stories, from his experiences, from his failures, from his successes. David was the second king of Israel. He followed King Saul, who God had chosen, and he stood ahead above everybody else, but he failed miserably, and so the kingdom was taken from Saul and given to this man named David. David is regarded as the greatest king Israel ever had. He certainly is written about throughout his life and experiences about his greatness, and Jews today revere him, and he's just a great man to many people, and certainly in the Bible. So many stories that we can hold on to and think about. Again, David was not great because he was a perfect man. In fact, he was far from it. He was a man that had many experiences of failure in his life. But David was a man who understood and found the forgiveness of God. He understood what God's mercy and his grace was. And so the story today is about both. It's a long story. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's actually also in 1 Chronicles, but I'm going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, and we're going to continue on then down to verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Here, one of the stories, one of the many stories about King David. The Lord's anger burned against Israel again, and it stirred up David against them to say, "Go count the people of Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, the commander of his army, "Go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the troops so I can know their number." Joab replied to the king, "May the Lord your God multiply the troop 100 times more than they are while my lord the king looks on. But why does my lord the king want to do this?" Yet the king's order prevailed over Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army left the king's presence to register the troops of Israel. They crossed the Jordan to camp in Ur, south of the town in the middle of the valley, and then proceeded toward Gad and Jazer. They went to Gilead and to the land of the Hittites and continued on to Danjon and around to Sidon. They went to the fortress of Tyre and all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites. Afterwards, they went to the Negev of Judah at Beersheba. When they had gone through the whole land, they returned to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Joab gave the king the total of the registration of the troops. There were 800,000 fighting men from Israel and 500,000 men from Judah. David's conscience troubled him after he had taken a census of the troops. He said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I've done. Now, Lord, because I've been very foolish, please take away your servant's guilt." Now would you go down to verse 17. When David saw the angel striking the people, he said to the Lord, "Look, I am the one who has sinned. I am the one who has done wrong. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and my father's family." Gad came to David that day and said to him, "Go up and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite." David went up in obedience to Gad's command, just as the Lord had commanded. Arunah looked down and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So he went out and bowed to the king with his face on the ground. Arunah said, "Why has my lord, the king, come to his servant?" David replied, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, so the plague on the people may be halted." Arunah said to David, "My lord the king may take whatever he wants and offer it. Here are the oxen for a burnt offering and the threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. My king Arunah gives everything here to the king." Then he said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." The king answered Arunah, "No, I insist on buying it from you for a price, for I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 20 ounces of silver. He built an altar to the Lord there and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer on behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel ended. There are so many parts to this story. There's a whole lot of things in this story that I don't have time to focus on today. The story raises a lot of questions. I didn't read the entire chapter, but I could have, but some of the part that I didn't read raises questions about fairness and why God punished the troops and the people instead of David and what that means. There's other questions about what was really in David's heart and why he counted the army and what it meant that God provoked him. Actually, in 1 Chronicles, it says Satan provoked David. And so there's a lot of things about this story that are interesting and take a long time to sort out. There's a particular part of it today that I want to focus on. I want to begin by focusing on David's heart and David's sin. The sin of David was simply counting the troops. Now, it wasn't wrong to know how many troops were in the army for the Israelite leaders, but it was in this case, it was this time, and other times in the history of the Israelite army, it was very wrong to do a census. It was saying to God that, "God, I don't believe that you can take care of your people," and the king stepping in and not showing trust in God. David knew that he wasn't supposed to do this. Now, we don't know all that because we don't have the fullness of the story behind, but we know from what happens in the story that David knew that what he was doing was wrong. He knew that he was not supposed to do this. He was not supposed to count the army. He was not supposed to go out and check and see how many people were there to fight. It was a direct result for David of not trusting God. He knew that Joab knew that it was wrong, because Joab says to him, and I'll read the scripture in 1 Chronicles that mentions that too, where Joab says in a very stronger way in the book of 1 Chronicles, he says, Joab, why would you do this to the land of Israel? You know this is wrong. He knew that Joab knew that it was wrong. The army knew it was wrong. In 1 Chronicles, it tells us that the army's leaders knew that it was wrong. Yet David did not listen to the counsel of Joab and the army leaders, and he went ahead and did this act, which was disobedience to God. He was relying on himself. There's an issue also here of pride in David's heart, that he could control the outcome of the war. He could control the battle, and that he could have enough resources to fight off the enemies, all things that said to God, who promised to take care of Israel and to lead David if he would follow him, saying to God that David was putting himself in the place of God. He was pushing God out and saying, I can do it myself. In Chronicles, as I said, in the other telling of the story, Joab says to him, why are you doing this evil in Israel? Well, the census, David ignored the voices and the signs, and it took just over 9 months to do the census. And so Joab confronted David. David didn't listen to Joab, and so the census started. It took 9 months to be completed, and somewhere during that time, something was going on inside of David's heart. Maybe because of the words of Joab, maybe because of his army leaders, maybe because of knowing what God had said in the past, maybe because David had quieted himself before God. But during that time, God began to talk to David deep down in his heart, and his conscience began to trouble him. David's conscience began to speak to him. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. David knew in his heart, probably soon after he ordered the census to be taken, he knew deep down that something wasn't right. And so God began to speak to him about his conscience. And at first, David ignored his conscience. He ignored that he knew that what we might not understand as being a big deal was a big deal to God, and that he had done something very wrong. But David doesn't seem to react to it in the beginning. He lets it go. He lets the census for 9 months and 20 days carry out. And so his conscience is there, and he begins to realize and know deep within that what he's done is not right. The conscience. How important is your conscience to you? Our conscience is a very precious gift from God. The conscience that God gives us is a gift to be cherished and to be nurtured and to be protected. It's a tool that God gives to help every person who has a heart that wants to do what's right. I believe the conscience to the soul is kind of like the nervous system is to the body. You know, when you hurt yourself, you have pain, and you don't like pain. I don't like pain. Nobody likes pain. But when you have pain, it tells you that there's something wrong. And people that, for whatever reason, lose their nervous system or lose their nerves or whatever, when they injure their body, they don't realize it at first. And oftentimes, they continue to damage that part of their body so that it cannot ever heal. Diseases are like that in many ways. The nervous system is God's gift to our body. The conscience is God's gift to your soul to help you to hear when you're off track, when you're not doing or your attitude isn't right, what God wants it to be. Your conscience is very important. It's important that you honor that conscience. It's there for a reason. And David was wrestling with that. And then we know as we get through the story that David begins to listen to his conscience. In verse 10, it says, David's conscience troubled him after he had taken a census of the troops. David knew in his heart that what he did was wrong, and he did what he should. When David's conscience began to trouble him, then he began to think more about it and think about what he needed to do. And one of the great things, examples from David's life, is when David knew that he had sinned, David turned to God. He wasn't like someone who did not respond to the Spirit of God, who was speaking to his conscience, but David responded and called out to God. He knew that he was wrong. He said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I've done." Not only does David give us a great example of a man who calls out to the Lord and allows God to speak in his conscience, but also David took responsibility for his sin. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't say it was just a mistake. He didn't say, "Well, I just wasn't perfect." David said, "I have sinned greatly." Another part of this story to me that's a great example and something for us to hold on to. When we fall short, when we don't do what God wants us to, and we know that and he tells us, then we should call it sin. David said, "I have sinned greatly." He understood the magnitude of sin. David will also understand the magnitude of God's forgiveness, and that's a beautiful thing about David. But here, he understood what it meant that he disobeyed God, and it troubled him, it bothered him. It should bother us, it should trouble us when we know that we don't do what God wants us to do. God helps us and blesses us with a conscience so that when we do fall short, when we do sin, we know that we can call out to God and he will hear our prayer. David had confidence who God was. He knew that when he sinned, he needed to call out to God. He knew what he needed. He needed to confess his sin. He needed to call it sin. And he needed to ask for forgiveness. "Now, Lord, because I've been very foolish, please take away your servant's guilt." David also ask God to forgive him. Maybe in David's response here, we see something important for us to hold on to in life's journey. Here we see something that God wants us to know about him. God hates sin. God brings it to our heart and our mind because he hates it so much, and he wants us to turn to him. And that's what David does. David also, he accepted God's punishment. I didn't read that part of the story, but God gave David three consequences of sin, and all of them were painful. They were painful because they were on the whole nation of Israel, not just on David himself. And David had to choose one of them. And so he chose the plague, and it fell upon the people of Israel, and many, many, many of them died, and the punishment was great. You see, there is a punishment for sin, and we know that Jesus died for our sins, and somehow the ugliness of the punishment was taken by Jesus on the cross. And so when we come to faith in Christ, we are accepting that God is punishing our sin on the cross. Well, back in this day, in the Old Testament, God was punishing David and punishing the people of Israel. And David cried out about that. Maybe the most painful part for David was the realization that his actions impacted the people around him. And because he ignored his conscience and he did what was wrong and he chose to do that, he realized the consequences that it brought on him and brought on the people of his kingdom, because he was responsible for the nation of Israel. And so when he sinned and God brought the punishment, it was on all of them. And the pain was terrible. In verse 17, it says, "David saw the angel striking the people. He said to the Lord, 'Look, I am the one who has sinned. I am the one who has done wrong.'" David says, he cries out to God and says, "God, I know I've sinned, and I it was me that did this. God, it's me. It's no one else. It's me standing here in the need of prayer." He cries out to God, and then he asks God. He says, "God, but these sheep, what have they done?" David saw the suffering of the people, and his heart was moved. And he says, "Please let your hand be against me and my family's family." David sees as God is punishing the nation. David says, "Wait a minute, God, I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that's wrong." And David took on something that I think is an important part of the story. He says, "God, I'm the one who has sinned. would you punish me and my family and not these innocent families of Israel? David really asked in this verse that God would punish him. He understood the magnitude of sin. He knew that there needed to be a punishment. And David asked God to punish him. And we know from the next verse that God listened to David's heart. He knew David's heart. He knew the sincerity of David's heart. He knew that he did not want to blame anybody else for the sin. He didn't want anybody else to take the consequences for what he had done. But he says, God, would you please, would you punish me and my family? He was so full of grief. And he was crying out to God. He was saying, God, please, would you punish me instead of my family? And so the angel comes to him. Gad came to David that day and said to him, go up and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. You see, God heard David's prayer. And so God sent a messenger to David and said, David, God's heard your prayer. Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to go to Arunah the Jebusite, and I want you to buy his field. And there I want you to build an altar to me. God was giving David a way to be restored in his relationship to him. And so David went up, it says in the next verse, in obedience to God's command, just as the Lord had commanded. Arunah looked down and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So he went out and bowed to the king with his face to the ground. Arunah recognized David as the king. And so David comes and says, I want to buy this place from you. I'll pay you whatever you ask for, but I want to buy this place. And I'm going to build an altar to the Lord. And Arunah says to David, David, you don't have to buy this. I'll just give it to you. I'll give it to the king, and you can worship your God. And this will be my gift. And David, you don't need to pay your money for it at all. I'm just going to give it to you. But David would not accept the gift. David would not accept that Arunah would pay for his sacrifice. David had a deep sense of personal humility here. And then he says these words that I've read a couple of times. No, I insist on buying it from you for a price, for I will not offer to the Lord my burnt offerings that cost me nothing. David had in his heart a deep personal humility toward God, and also understood the importance of worship and honoring God for who he is. I think the thing about this story that impacts me the most is how David understood something about the mercy and the grace of God. David was able to be forgiven. I don't know quite how else to say it. That might not be the best way to do it. David was able somehow to understand God's grace and understand, though he had failed terribly, this isn't the only time, this is the last time as far as we know recorded in the scripture, but David understood that God was so loving and merciful that if he came to him, that God would do what was right. So David was able to say to God, I come to you, I bow before you, I ask for your mercy. But he also said to God, I'm not taking this lightly. I'm not taking your grace for granted. I'm not going to just kind of say, okay, God, you took care of my sin, and I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on to the party. David acknowledged the wonder of the mercy and the grace of God when he said, don't let anybody else pay for my offering. Don't let anybody else let me cut a corner on honoring God. God, you are worthy of my greatest offering. I wonder today if we sense and we feel how great and mighty and worthy God is of our very best. In our worship, in our allegiance. This is an incredible story. This threshing floor of Arunah, how significant it became for David and for Israel. That very threshing floor became the place where the Temple of Solomon was built. Like, wow. That altar that David built there became the place that became the altar of the Temple of Solomon. Somehow, I believe, David had a heart that's right, and even more importantly, God looked upon David's sacrifice and said, David, you have blown it terribly, but you really get it about my mercy and my grace. You know what David is called by God, which is always kind of flabbergasted me in some ways? David, a man after God's own heart. A man who's messed up so much, but yet he understood the mercy and the forgiveness and the restoration of God. What a story. What a man. Would you stand with me as we pray? God, I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to your Spirit. I think of the importance of conscience. And God, how you give it to us to help us to stay on track, or when we're off track, to be drawn back to your truth and your Spirit. I pray today, God, that we would not ignore the conscience, but we would nourish it from your truth, from your word. We allow our conscience to be built by your Holy Spirit, God. I pray that we would also understand how sin separates us from you. God, the punishment of sin was put on Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. But we must accept that. We must confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Just as David put his trust and hope in bringing his very best and presenting it to God, and he confessed with a humble heart, God, I pray that each of us would know that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that we would confess our sins. We know, God, that you are faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to understand your grace and your mercy today, I pray. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this story. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.